It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and we're in a great series right now. I'm teaching the seven letters to the seven churches found in the book of Revelation, and the first few chapters, we're in chapter two today as Jesus is writing a letter today or dictating a letter to John, who will later pass it on to someone who will take the letter by foot and walk it to the church of Smyrna. In verse 8 of chapter 2, he now begins to address a church called Smyrna in the town of Smyrna. Now, I love this letter because my grandchildren live in Smyrna, but that's Smyrna, Tennessee, not Smyrna in Asia Minor, which was in the time of John. But he writes this in verse 8, "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write." Now, we addressed yesterday that when John uses this word angel, he is speaking to the pastor. It is a Greek word at that time which meant messenger. And so he's writing here to the messenger of the church at Smyrna. Now, Smyrna was a very wealthy city. It was a beautiful city in Asia Minor. Today, it would be in the area of Turkey. There's a modern-day city called Izmir, and Izmir is where Smyrna used to be in the time of John when this letter was written. And this church, and this town, rather, was known for its loyalty to Rome, and they had a strong emperor worship. It was a cultic worship of the Roman emperor. The city had a large Jewish population, and they were very hostile to Christians. The word Smyrna actually means myrrh. That's the word myrrh is in this Smyrna. And so it's a fragrant spice that was used in anointing the dead. And it's very symbolic in this town because this would be a town that would suffer great martyrdom that would take place in the period of time around 100 to 300 AD. And so the church in Smyrna is going to represent that period of persecution under the Roman Empire. But let's begin today with verse 8, "To the angel in the church of Smyrna write." Now, these are the words of Jesus. Now, remember I told you in the beginning of the letters, Jesus always identifies himself with a part of the vision that John saw of the glorified Christ in the first chapter. Here it is. He says, "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again." Why is this so important to the church at Smyrna, that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega? He's the first and the last. The fact that he died and came back to life again. Paul will tell us in Corinthians, Christ was the first fruits of our resurrection. We celebrate that every Easter, every time we celebrate the resurrection, that Jesus had victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now, he identifies with a part of the vision that John saw where he was the first and the last, he died, and he came back to life again. Why is this important to the people at Smyrna? Because they will suffer great martyrdom. They will suffer persecution as they take a stand for Christ. So he says this, verse 9, "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." This is the slander that was coming against the church at Smyrna and the persecuted Christians. They were betrayed to Roman authorities by Jewish leaders in Smyrna. And so Jesus addresses that fact as he writes this letter to them. "I know what you're going through," he says. "I know the slander of those who say they're Jews, but they're really not. They're in league with the devil." He called them a synagogue of Satan. You talk about harsh but truthful words describing those who oppose Christ. True Jews are those who follow God in faith, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Paul told us that. Now we pick up with verse 10. He says this, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Wow. God is giving them a heads up about what they're getting ready to face. I don't know if it was 10 literal days or if it were 10 waves of persecution that came to the early church. I don't know, but he promises them this. You're going to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. You see, Christians should remain faithful in suffering, knowing that Christ rewards those who endure. Now, did you notice anything different about this letter to Smyrna? I told you that every letter begins with Jesus identifying with himself a part of the vision that John saw. In this case, it was his eternal nature, that he's the first and the last, and that he has victory over death. And he died and rose again. I told you then that he tells them what they're doing good, and he points out the things they're doing right. Then he tells them what they're doing wrong. But in the case of Smyrna, the church that suffered, the church that was persecuted, Jesus had not one bad thing to say about that church. Can you imagine if Jesus were to write a letter to the church of America today? If he was to write a letter telling us what we're doing good and what we're doing bad, would we be like the church of Smyrna, where he had not one bad thing to say? Now comes the promise to the overcomer. Look at verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Once again, this is so applicable to the church at Smyrna, because they may suffer in this life. They may suffer the death of a martyr, but then they will not be hurt by the second death. They will have eternal life. They will rise again when Jesus comes for his church. What a great promise to those who overcome. I love the fact that in verse 9, Jesus said to the church of Smyrna, I know your afflictions. You see, there's so many times when Satan would want you to think that God doesn't know what you're going through. But he does. He knows exactly what you're facing. Jesus even said, I know your poverty, yet you are rich. You see, God even knows your bank account, my friend. He knows what you're going through. See, history tells us that Christians in Smyrna were economically poor because of their faith. They suffered boycotts because they believed in Jesus, and they had their property even taken. But the Bible tells us that spiritually, they were rich. They were rich. My friend, earthly wealth means nothing if we lack the spiritual riches only found in Christ. True faith, it's costly, but God sees and he rewards openly those who are faithful. I love the fact that Jesus in this letter encouraged them. He said, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. We're serving a God who rewards faithfulness. I had a salesman call me this week, and on the phone he had done his due diligence. He had researched my website, and he made this statement to me. He said, Pastor Keith, I noticed from the website you've been at the same place over 40 years. I told him, I said, you can accuse me of a lot of things, but certainly not of being a quitter. You see, I've understood the principle that God rewards faithfulness. You and I are just called to be faithful. And he says, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, with each letter, he uses the same phrase that he used here in verse 11. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You say, "Pastor Keith, most people have ears." Well, most people don't have spiritual ears. There's a lot of the population today that is very deaf concerning spiritual matters. God is calling believers here to pay attention, to listen to the voice of the Spirit. I told you that one of the things that I noticed studying history about the church at Smyrna was this city in Smyrna was very involved in emperor worship. They worshiped the Roman emperor. They had to pay allegiance to him. But later in history, there was a bishop of Smyrna by the name of Polycarp. He was a disciple of the Apostle John and a leader in the early church. And this would happen later after John has this letter dictated and sent by a courier to the town of Smyrna and the church there. This man Polycarp became the bishop of Smyrna, and the Roman authorities arrested Polycarp, and they ordered him to swear allegiance to Caesar. And when told to renounce Christ, this is what Polycarp said in his reply. 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Do you know they sentenced Polycarp, Rome did, to burning at the stake? And here's the amazing thing that history records. Eyewitness said that the flames did not consume Polycarp's body. He was finally stabbed to death because the flames could not consume his body. See, his courage inspired Christians to be faithful even in the face of death. So what time period did this letter represent in church history? Remember, the first letter to Ephesus represented the age of the apostles, from the time period of Jesus until about 100 A.D. And then from 100 A.D. to 313 A.D. was this Smyrna church age, and it represented the era of persecution under Rome. Emperors like Nero, Domitian, and Diocletian, who tried to stamp out Christianity, they martyred thousands of Christians. But despite the persecution, Christianity grew rapidly, and the persecution ended with the Edict of Milan, which was 313 AD, and that's when Constantine legalized Christianity and he made it the official religion of Rome. I love studying the seven letters to the seven churches. My friend, I believe we're living in the generation that will see the return of Messiah Yeshua to this earth. And now we're studying these seven letters to seven churches. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with the third letter to the seven churches, and that is the church in Pergamum. And I want you to join me right here on Fresh Oil as we walk through the seven letters to the seven churches. Walk in grace. God loves you, friend.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.